So Alimud of Sefer Chofetz Chaim is Leschus Refua of Yosef Dov Ben Chayla, Hishtav Refua Shlema, B'Soy Shochel Yisrael B'Korev. So yesterday we discussed, we were doing some test questions. So we discussed already the first question about the coat that was stolen from Shul, and we discussed the second question about the Rebbe who wants to brief the Rebbe of the class in the next year about a boy who's been difficult this year. And the third one here that he brings down, this is also from the, I mentioned it yesterday, is also from the art scroll, Chofetz Chaim, is the Gabba of the Shul is looking for somebody who caused damage. And Reuven knows that it was Shimon's son who did it. So Shimon's son smashed a window in Shul. The Gabba's very upset. He's asking around, who knows who caused the damage? And Reuven knows who did it. He saw it happen, let's say, himself. And therefore, he is an aid, echod. Question is, what could he do about it? Or more importantly, can he tell the Gabba that it was Shimon's son who smashed the window? Buzukman. But remember, the halacha is that Cheresh Shoita Vekotan Chiyoson Ro, which means that the father doesn't have to pay for the damage, legally, Alpi Halacha. Alpi Halacha, although his son smashed the window, it's very nice if he's prepared to contribute, it's very nice if he wants to pay, but Alpi strict Halacha, the shul couldn't force the father to pay for the damage. So, what should he do? Should he tell the Gabba? Should he speak to the boy? No point in speaking to the boy, the boy's not going to pay up. Maybe the boy will have money, maybe he'll have pocket money, and maybe he'll be prepared to pay anonymously for the damage. Maybe he's got bar mitzvah money. Well, then he's not a cotton anymore, he's a godel. Then he is responsible for his damage.
Is he?
So it's not bar mitzvah. Once he's bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
Once he's bar mitzvah, he's a godel, he's responsible for his damage. A cotton is piyoson ro. What did you think? Up till the age of 20?
I think
up to the age of 20, I could be wrong, I'll stand corrected. I think up to the age of 20 is only Lagaba a Chiyuv Misa. It's a Chiyuv Misa, but I think once a boy is bar mitzvah, he's responsible for his damage. But up till then, he's not. But let's say he might have savings. So you'll speak to this little boy and you'll tell him that you caused the damage. I saw you smash the window. If you've got the money, then you should pay for it. Okay? The boy can say, I haven't got money. The boy can say, I have got money, but I don't want to pay. I'm a cotton, so you can't force me to pay. Okay, what happens if he tells the Gabba? What happens if he tells the Gabba that it was Shimon's son who caused the damage? What will the Gabba do? The Gabba will go to the father, and he'll say to the father, you have to pay for your son's damage. And the father can say, I'm potter. I'm not mechuyev to pay for my son's damage. What about if he so that's if he tells the Gabba. So the art scroll says that we're looking for where is the toyeles. Yeah, I saw it with my own eyes. I know it happened. I want to speak this Lashon Hara, le toyeles. Where is the toyeles? So the art scroll concludes that the best toyeles, or the most conclusive toyeles, would be to go and speak to the father. Right, not to speak to the boy, and not to speak to the Gabba, but to speak to the father of the boy, and to tell him that your son caused this damage in the Beis HaMedrash, and that maybe you want to pay for it. You're not mechuyev to pay for it. There's a chance that the father will say that, okay, my son caused the damage, al pi halacha, I'm potter from paying for my son's damage, but I might volunteer to pay. So the Chofetz Chaim, basically in this example, the art scroll are saying that the best person to speak to is not the child, and not to speak to the Gabba in the shul, but to speak to the father of the boy, and to see whether or not the father wishes to admit to the Gabba and to pay for the damage, which is optional, he doesn't have to.
Yeah,
the announcement.
It's a need, yes or no.
Yeah.
One means, I want to say this, I want to say it. Lashon Hara is about correct speaking, no?
Okay. Torah Way, Northwest London, Chof Zayin Ior, Mem Beis La'Oimer, the 4th of June, Harav Shalom Segal Shlita, topical theme. Siamese twins. Oh, wow. Is that topical? Okay.
Good morning.
Morning.
The Gemara, there's a Gemara in Erevin, Daf Yud Ches, the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Yud Ches, discusses the creation of man, creation of Adam, and where exactly Chava came from in terms of being taken from Adam. There's two deities in the Gemara there. According to one, Adam was created with a tail, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu subsequently took the tail, and from the tail, Vayiven Asar Tzelo, he built the tail up and made it into a human being, i.e. into Chava. The other day in the Gemara is that Adam Arishim was created with Shnei Partzufim, two faces back to back. And again, eventually HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated them from one another, and hence you had Adam and Chava. The Ben Ish Chai says when learning this Gemara, it occurred to him, what we know today as Siamese twins, he wanted to know what would be the halacha when it comes to Siamese twins, whilst they are actually joined, are they counted as one or two people? In other words, let's say you've got two boys who are joined together. If you needed a minion, would they be one person or two people? And if it was came to Yerusha, would they get one portion or two portions? If they were two girls, could a person marry these two girls? If they're two people, it's marrying Shtei Achoyos. You can't do that. And I might say, if you were to marry one, then, as the Shvus Yaakov points out, you'd have problems of tzniyah sticker. It's used to marry one and not the other. So, and then there's a theoretical, I'd say a hypothetical shayla. The Shvus Yaakov actually declares, but seemingly that was before they fully understood the biology and the facts behind Siamese twins. And that is, what happens if it was a boy and a girl joined together? Would the father be mekayem the mitzvah peruravu? The mitzvah peruravu is to have a boy and a girl. With that one birth, would he be mekayem both mitzvahs? It's hypothetical, simply because there are obviously Siamese twins are really identical twins which haven't separated in uterus, and therefore it's actually impossible to have a boy and a girl short of some incredible mutation. This is the some of these shaylos the Ben Ish Chai raises, some of them others raise. What is the status of Siamese twins before they are divided? Are they one person or are they two people? Now this is a subject I spoke about in Al Moshe actually over Yom Tov, Pesach, and for a few reasons I'm going to speak about it again today. Number one, there are one or two little sort of updates, things which at least I felt weren't, at least for myself, were not fully clear at the time. Number two is because somebody did ask me after the shiur, had it been recorded, obviously not on Yom Tov, but if you wanted to listen to the subject matter again, and in and of itself, as a standalone shiur, most definitely not. I mean, not at least as far as I'd given it. And so today's obviously the opportunity, and that is going straight into reason number three, as we'll see, Be'ezus Hashem, it's very, very much to do with this week's parasha, the Chasm Sofer, as we'll see, Be'ezus Hashem soon, which deals with this subject somewhat based on this week's parasha. So we have the shaylos. Again, we want to know, is it Siamese twins, are they one or are they two people before they are divided? So cutting straight to the core, obviously I've got less time than I did have over Yom Tov, so it'll be a slightly condensed version. But cutting to the main Marim Okim, Ben Ish Chai's got various interesting Marim Okimis, but amongst they all end up at a dead end. The Marim Okim that really seems to be the one which is going to open up the sugya is the Gemara Menachos. The Gemara Menachos says that Plimo once came to Rabbi Yehuda Anossi, and he asked Rabbi Yehuda Anossi, he said to him, if you've got a, presumably a bar mitzvah boy, but a boy who has one body, two heads, which head do you put the tefillin on? That was his shaila. So Rebbe didn't laugh, as you are, he kicked him out of the Beis HaMedrash. He told him, Oy gale, o kabel aloch shanta, either go into exile or accept upon yourself excommunication, says Rashi. Peshat is, you're making a mockery of me, you're messing about, you're asking me ridiculous questions, something which is an impossibility, and with that, as it were, he kicked him out. Just at that moment, a man comes running in, and he says, Rebbe, Rebbe, we had a Mazel Tov recently, a Bechor, well, it wasn't, I'm not sure if it's a Bechor, or Bechorim, Bechoros, whatever you want to call it. In other words, a boy with two heads. Pidyon HaBen. Is it five, or is it going to be 10? Are we paying for one? Is it one head or two heads? I mean, it's two heads, obviously, but is it therefore Pinyan HaBen? Is it once over or twice over? So it says, Ahu Sabo comes along, which Pashto, as they point out, is Rabbi, could well be Edio Anovi. There's a Tosfos that says that generally speaking, Tosfos and Chodin says that Hahu Sabo is Elio Hanovi. There's an exception in the Gemara and Shabbos. So he comes along and he, based on Psukim, he shows you that, no, you're going to have to pay twice. So the Gemara asks on that, it says, but it's not a viable, the child's going to die. And since the child's going to die, you know, if the child dies within 30 days, there's no pinyan aben. So the Gemara answers, this is the way Rashi learns it, yeah, but right now, 30 days, is he alive? Yes, if he's alive now, pinyan aben is subject, is relevant. I was going to be in the future, you know, it's not going to survive, that's irrelevant. Right now, he's alive. Outcome, that's the Gemara. Comes along Tosfos, Dainu from the Pashtus of the Gemara, Rashi, this one body with two heads is not a viable existence, definitely not much beyond 30 days. Comes along Tosfos, and Tosfos says, in this world, it's true, we don't find such an existence. However, there is, in an underworld, we will find such people. And Tosfos brings a Medrash, which the Shittim Mekubetza speaks out a little bit more, and from others for him, we find the full story. The Ashmedoi Malka, some people may be aware, the Gemara in Gittin, which tells us how Ashmedoi was the king of the demons, he was brought into Shlomo HaMelech. Anyway, he comes into Shlomo HaMelech, and one of the things in their discussion is that Ashmedoi Malki says to Shlomo HaMelech, he says, do you want me to show you something quite amazing, somebody with two heads? So Shlomo HaMelech says, go on. So he brings him from the world underneath our own, whatever that means. He brings somebody, and this person pops in, and taka, two heads, one body, two heads. So this person tells Shlomo HaMelech, in our world, everyone's got two heads there. This is the world of Kayin. This is the world of Kayin, and here, there, we all have two heads. So Shlomo HaMelech said, thank you very much, you can send him back now. What happens? Ashmedoi says, no, he can't go back, it's a one-way ticket. Once he's here, he's here, he's stuck. So this person realizes he's not going anywhere, so might as well make the most of it. He gets married. Can't find anyone with two heads. He marries a lady with one head. And they build a nice family together, seven children. Well, six have the genetics of the mother, one head, but there's always got to be one sort of black sheep. Somebody who's got two heads, one of them has two heads. And this father with the two heads, he builds up a very nice business. And when it comes time to leave this world, he takes leave and leaves a nice big Yerusha. And it's often the case with Yerusha, there's obviously this disagreement. They come to the Beis Din. Obviously, the one with the two heads says, I want two portions. Others say, no, you're one person. You only get one portion. So the Sanhedrin don't know what to do. Shlomo HaMelech, again, the slightly different version where they initially Shlomo HaMelech didn't know what to do. He went and davened HaKadosh Baruch Hu at night. The kids say, either way, Dinu Laboke Mishpat, next morning you'll have the answer. He calls them in the next morning. This child with the two heads comes. And what he does is he takes some sort of cloth, puts it over one head, and over the other head pours hot water. It's a little bit more than hot water, some wine as well, a couple of other ingredients. But Bekitza, he's waiting to see how many screams will there be, one or two. If both heads react, you know it is, obviously it's one person. If one head reacts, the one which has had the water, and the other one doesn't react, then you know it's two separate people. Well, what happened, both heads reacted, and Shlomo HaMelech therefore declared them one person, and that was the end of the story. One person, one share in the Yerusha. That's the story. Now, at face value, when you look at that Gemara, you say, okay, there you go, Shlomo HaMelech has paskened it, that, okay, Pidyon HaBen may be a separate din, because it's a special, it's based on a posuk there, but Be'etzem, one body, two heads, is one person. So, there you go, Siamese twins is really one person. But obviously, that doesn't prove anything, because that means one body and two heads is one person. It doesn't mean every case of Siamese twins necessarily is going to be one person. That's number one. Number two, the very fact that Shlomo HaMelech himself had a sofik about this, he wasn't sure what to do, Sanhedrin didn't know what to do, it seems it's not so clear cut. You had to do this test. And in this particular case, the test, which the Ben Ish Chai actually takes on, was not a sort of run-of-the-mill test, this was through Ruach HaKodesh, but ultimately, this was a special test which revealed that in this case, it was one person. One body, two heads, one person. But it doesn't mean necessarily every case of Siamese twins is going to be like that. There's obviously something else to think about, but let's just go Kaseda. So the Chasam Sofer in Teshuvas, brings a question from the Kol Yehuda. There's a Sefer called Kol Yehuda, which the Chasam Sofer quotes, and he asks on this week's Parasha, when it comes to counting of Klal Yisrael, so they're told, Es Rosh Karadas B'nei Yisrael, etc., count them L'gul Goloisot, count them according to their heads. And when it comes to Shevet Levi, doesn't say Lugul Goloisot. He wants to know why. Why by Klal Yisrael are they counted by their heads, and Shevet Levi not. So says the Kalihudah, a bit of a chat based on this Gemara. Because we see from this Gemara that a child at 30 days old could have two heads and still be alive. But by 20 years old, Zeche won't be alive, as the Gemara clearly says. Not in this world, at least. In this world, people don't exist with two heads. 30 days? Yes. As in that case with Pidyon HaBen. But as Rashi says, it's not going to be much longer than that. So therefore, says the Kal Yehuda, that's Peshat. You see, we're worried, if you were to say count by the heads by Shevet Levi, is it one person or two people? It's one person. But if you count the heads, you're going to count them as two. And therefore, by Shevet Levi, at 30 days old, you're counting Shevet Levi at 30 days. They're counting Miben Chodesh, from a month and upwards. So therefore, you can't count them by the heads, because it could be one person with two heads, and you're going to count them as two people. Masha'in came by B'nai Yisrael, the rest of B'nai Yisrael, you're only counting them, Miben Esrim Shon of Omalo, only from 20 years old and upwards. At 20 years old, there's going to be no one alive with two heads. So therefore, you won't have this problem. As those are the Kal Yehuda. A nice chap. Again, with Shevet Levi, we can't tell you to count them by the heads because it's Shaykh that you can have one person, one body, two heads. Halachically, it's one person. You're going to count them as two if you count their heads. So therefore, it doesn't say Likol Goloisol. Whereas by B'nai Yisrael, the rest of B'nai Yisrael, at 20 years old, you won't have such a situation. It won't be alive. And therefore, you can write Likol Goloisol. Says the Chasam Sofer, he's got two problems with this. Number one, you've explained to me why by Shevet Levi, you can't write Likol Goloisol because it's not going to work. But you haven't explained to me why by B'nai Yisrael it does write Likol Goloisol. What's the chiddush in that? What are you coming to teach me with that point? So he says, okay, based on Medrashim, we could explain the significance in counting the heads. But then he says that he's got another problem. That's based on a Rashba and a Marashal, which basically it comes out. There's a concept in Chulin when it comes to treifas that an extra limb, if somebody's got an extra limb and you're clearing, does that give them the status of a treifa? We say yeser kanotul domi. Then an extra limb. Ask yourself what would be the status of that same person or animal if it was lacking a limb. And therefore, generally speaking, in many worlds, depending on what the extra limb is, it could be a trefor. Says the Rashba, although you say, yes, it can also dominate, therefore it's a trefor, but it doesn't mean to say that it can't live. An extra limb does not mean that it can't live. And the Maharshal extends that even further with other types of trefors. It doesn't mean they can't live. And therefore the Chasam Sefer says, your whole vort is very nice in theory, but it doesn't work in practice. Because it doesn't mean that a child can't be, or a person can't be alive at 20 years old with two heads. It's an extra head. Doesn't mean they can't be alive. So therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, he says to me, what is a whopping chiddush? He says that, you know what? Of course it could be alive at 20 years old. And you're right, it would be one person. It's a gezeiras hakosav. You can't ask questions. When it comes to counting Bnei Yisrael, they were told to count them by their heads. Either it's only one person, doesn't matter. But why by Shevet Levi don't we count them as two people, two heads? Because they're a sarkosav. You can't ask. By Kali Yisrael, you count the heads. I don't care how many people they really are. Count the heads. By Shevet Levi, not that you don't do so. And then the Chasam Sofer says there's another possibility, and that is that it could be HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't waste words. And it could be HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew full well that in Shevet Levi, there wasn't anyone with two heads. So therefore, there was no reason to tell them to count the heads. Mashenkin and Klal Yisrael, which obviously had a much bigger population, there the possibility of having two heads was that bit higher, and the Metzias was that there was at least one person with two heads. Therefore, it says Likol Goloisom. I, it's one person, because there is our costume, count the heads.
Nowadays, there are Siamese twins who live longer than 20. No,
I'm coming. Coming to that, Bez Hashem. Very good. That we're coming to that in 1 second. Excellent. Yeah. So that's the chiddush of the Chasam Sofer. As I said, to me, it's a massive chiddush. Number one, because at the end of the day, if you ask anyone, what are we counting? We're not counting heads, we're counting people. We want to know how many people, how many neshamas there are in Klal Yisrael. According to the Chasam Sofer, it comes out, no, we're counting heads. You can have one person, two heads, really one person, you count them as two people. It's a big chiddush. It's not kosov, okay, but that's number one. Number two is, as much as the Chasam Sofer is trying to explain based on the Rashba and this Maharshal, Rashi is very clear that this child with Pidyon HaBen was alive at 30 days. Rashi is very clear he's not going to live much beyond that. Tosfos is very clear as well. In this world, you won't find somebody alive with two heads. But in the world of Kayin, that's why he brings the whole Medrash. Over there, you'll find people with two heads. According to the Chasam Sofer, what's the big deal? They can live. So, okay, he's got a Ma'arich base, perhaps in the Rashba. But what about, according to Rashi Tosfos, what do we do with this question of the Kal Yehuda? The Pashtus is they don't live. So in which case, what's the significance of Lugal Gadosam when it comes to the counting of Bnei Yisrael, but not by Shevet Levi? So, quite correct. One thing that we have to bear in mind is, the Metzias is today, we know with Siamese twins, they do live. I mean, not always, but very often Siamese twins do live. I'm talking about still joined. They can be left. They can live many, many years, 60 years and beyond. In fact, Siamese twins, they're called Siamese twins because I wouldn't say the first case, but the first case where there was sort of a whole big thing about it where they, and that was in Siam, going back quite a bit. And they were left joined together and they lived, I believe, I think, till the 60s, I think. Normally what happens though is when one dies, the other one dies within a few hours. Right? Even though they've got separate body organs, but obviously the flesh begins to rot and it could be infection, whatever else happens, because it's not it can't continue on like that. But so Siamese twins in the broader sense, it's not true they can't live much beyond 30 days. They do. What seems to be going on is the following. That clearly there are two sorts of Siamese twins. We know that. You can get Siamese twins where it's not a viable existence. Generally speaking, what we're talking about is, I'm not talking about because of outside medical conditions, it's because they don't have two separate sets of major organs. They don't have two hearts. They're sharing one heart. It's too much of a burden on one heart to be able to pump the blood for, obviously, two bodies. So they don't have maybe two hearts, two brains, whatever is necessary. The major organs, they're sharing that, and therefore it's not a viable, it's not a sustainable existence long term. You've then got another type of Siamese twins where they've got their own sets, two hearts, two brains, etc. And it can be just their joints by the back or the stomach or even at the head. They just simply didn't completely divide before birth. And that can often be a very viable existence. And they can be left like that for years, tens of years, quite or relatively happily left like that. And what seems to be going on over here is, therefore, and this I'll show you in the Pesukim, is that there's your answer. We want to know, is it one person or is it two people? It's just a question of, you tell me. If they can live, if it's a sustainable sort of a position, they can live like this, then it tells me that they've got two separate sets, two hearts, whatever is necessary. Then they're two people. If, however, they can't live, and the reason why they can't live is because they don't have the necessary organs for it, they're sharing one set, one and a half sets of organs, then it's one person. So the acid test today, we could obviously just check it up with x-rays and things like that, see what's going on with the inside organs. But a similar dover is, you ask yourself, look, you ask a medical opinion, is this going to be sustainable long-term or not? If they say no, this is sick, it's not going to last, then you know it's one person. If, however, they say this could last for years and years like this, then they're two people. That being the case, now it comes out beautiful going back to this week's parasha. With Bnei Yisrael, we're told to count them Lugal Gadosam because there's no problem. Of course there can be people with two heads at 20 years old. But they'll only have two heads and be alive at 20 years old if they're be'emes two people. If you've got two people joined together and they're still alive at 20 years old, then you know that they've obviously got two sets of major organs, and therefore they are two people. So count them Lugal Gadosam. Mashe, and that's what the Torah wants to come and teach us. Mashe, him and Shevet Levi, I don't know if it's one person or two people. At 30 days old, it's too early to tell. At 30 days old, it could be they're going to survive for tens of years, in which case they're two people, count the heads. Maybe not. Maybe they're not going to survive. And therefore it's only one person. Therefore you can't just simply blindly count the heads. And that's why by Shevet Levi it doesn't say count them Lugal Gadosam. And with this, we can now move on to, let's go back to the Gemara with Plimo. Plimo comes in and he says to Rebbe, I'm asking about a child, let's say a 13-year-old, even if you want to say it's chinuch and they started much, much younger and time's gone by, 6, 7 years old, they started putting on tefillin. But the kids, we're not talking about a 30-day-old baby. And he said to Rebbe, he said, which head do I put the tefillin on? So Rebbe said, right, clearly you're only going to put the tefillin on one head. Why are you putting the tefillin on one head? Because it's one person. If it's two people, you're going to have to put the tefillin on both heads. You wouldn't have any question. The fact that you're asking me, you came in and just asked me point blank, which head do I put it on? And I was one or the other. You're talking about one child.
One person. So you're asking me a question. A 13-year-old or 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old, whatever it is. We're not talking about a 30-day-old baby here. You're asking me, one person with two heads, what do I do with tefillin? Says, Rebbe, get out of here. You're wasting my time. In fact, it's very meduic. He said, Gale, go into Godless. You want to ask the question? Go into the world of Kayim. There it's Nogea. But in this world, it's not Nogea. You'll never get a person with two heads who's really one person at 13 years old. It wouldn't survive that long. If it's one person, it would have died soon after 30 days old. The fact that it's alive at 13 means it's two people, in which case you don't have a shayla. Of course they put on two tefillin.
Could you put on one tefillin shorosh on each head? No, seriously, you people wear two what's called mokim yesh barosh lanir shnei tefillin.
To my Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi?
No.
You can't put on two Rashi. No one else.
You couldn't put on two Rashi?
Baal Tosef. That's Baal Tosef. Even Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam is a whole machlokes about with this Baal Tosef.
But there are people who wear two.
I know.
Tefillin on their heads.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing. It's a whole shayla about Baal Tosef.
Are they Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam?
Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Yeah. Some people Kabbalah they do it. They say both are correct. It's a separate cheshbon there. But so that's the discussion between Plima and Rebbe. Finally, goes on, and it for whatever reason it gives us the case of Pidyon Haben just at that time. Says Tosfos, it tells us the story with Shlomo HaMelech. What was the sophic of Shlomo HaMelech? According to what we're saying, it's gewaldic. Shlomo HaMelech says, what do I do with this child? I've got a child standing in front of me now. Remember, the father died, left a nice big Yerusha there. This child's got two heads. And I'm thinking, do I give him the dinner one person or two people? Mitzad Echot, he's alive. He's alive with two heads. And we're not talking about 30 days old. We're talking about an older child, presumably. So, it tells me it's two people. You should get two chalokim. But says Shlomo HaMelech, but I don't know what to do. Because it could be the only reason he's alive is because he's from the world of Kayim. In this world, he wouldn't be alive. It's only because he had a father who's got the genetics of the world of Kayim. In this world, such an existence wouldn't be viable. So maybe we go by this world. What do I do? Do I count the Gulgulosim? Do I say he's alive, it's two people, or what do I do? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him and he gave him this answer, this genius of an answer. What did he tell him to do? Somebody asked me, he said it always bothered him. Why did Shlomo HaMelech have to pour the water on the other head? Why didn't he just pour it on the foot? Pour on the foot of the child and see, is there one reaction or two reactions? So I said to him, because that wouldn't show you that the two heads are connected. Right? Meaning to say, if only one head reacted, it could be, for all you know, there's two nervous systems there, just one of them doesn't reach the foot. The nerves are only connected to one of the heads. What I want to show over here is not what's connected to the foot. I want to show whether the two heads are connected. But the pshat is like this. Because what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was showing Shlomo HaMelech is, you're mesupuk, what do I do with this child? It's two heads, it's alive, so it should be two people. But maybe it's only alive because it's from the world, ultimately from the world of Kayin. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him, you know what? Do you know why in the world of Kayin they survive? Because it's really only one head. It's not two heads. Watch, pour the water on one head and the other head will react. That shows that the two heads are really one head and it's just shaped like this. Right? It's shaped like a U. It's one head. And therefore, that's why they exist. In the world of Kayin, they've got one head which is shaped in a different way. It's not two heads. And therefore, it's only going to be one chedek. Normally speaking, if you want to know, can you actually have two heads and be considered two people? That's an impossibility. Not at 20 years old. And therefore, that was the answer that Shlomo HaMelech paskened over there. So therefore, now coming back to our shaydas, Siamese twins, male twins, do you count them as one or two for a minion? And the answer is?
If they survive that long.
Exactly. If they're 13 years old, they're two people. When it comes to Yerusha, depends how old they are. If they're still 30 days or so, something like that, you wouldn't know whether it's one or two people yet. Obviously, as I said, today we can actually find out. We don't have to wait to see what happens. But in theory, that's what it's going to be based on. When it comes to two girls who are joined together, so if it's, we said, is it one person or is it two people? Again, if you're marrying them, unlikely, at least in today's world, you're marrying them at birth. So if you're marrying them when they're 17, 18, whatever it is, or beyond, if they've survived that long, it means they're two people. If it's two people, it's shtei achoyos. So to marry both of them would be a problem of shtei achoyos. To marry one of them would be a problem of tznius. That's what would come out according to what we've said. Based on this idea that we've spoken about today, we can also understand the famous Pesach of Ramosha Feinstein. Ramosha Feinstein, I think in the 1980s, I think it was asked in America, there was a famous case of Siamese twins, a frum couple, and the medical opinion was that the children only had 1.5 hearts. There's one heart and then a half joined to it. And Bekitzer, the medical opinion was unanimous that they would not be able to survive like this. There was a stronger twin, the one which had the full heart. The one with the weaker twin was effectively just drawing off the other one. And it wasn't a viable existence. They were both going to die. They were advising to separate them. But by separating them, obviously the weaker one would die straight away. But the other one had a decent prognosis of survival long term. The Shaida came to Ramosha. Ramosha deliberated on it for a few days. And then he came back with a psalm that they should divide them. That's known. What's not so clear, he should divide them. They should divide them. And the Shaila is why. So most people say the reason, most people have in their head, the reason is it's based on Redev. I think this comes from Ramosha's son-in-law. It's not in writing, so we don't know for sure. There's a sugya of Redev. If somebody's threatening to kill somebody else, you kill the Redev. Here as well, the weaker twin was threatening the life of the stronger twin. And therefore, Hashkem Bahargoy, you should get up and kill him. And therefore, we will to save the life of the stronger one, we would kill the weaker one. However, various Reborovtov Povarsky, perhaps others as well, they raise a very strong question, and that is that the Gemara says, there's a Mishnah I think in Ordos that says if a woman is pregnant and the fetus is threatening the life of the mother, we will abort the pregnancy because the fetus doesn't yet have the status of a nefesh. However, once Okar HaVlad, the Vlad has begun its passage into this world, then it gets the status of Nefesh, and then Ein Derech HaNefesh Mipnei Nefesh, you have to just leave it. Fred the Gemara, but why isn't the fetus, why isn't the child, why isn't it a Redev? It's threatening the life of the mother. To which the Gemara answers, Mishmaya Korot Filo. This is not the child threatening the life of the mother, this is the setup. This is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set it up. It's not actively trying to go and kill the mother. So says Reborovtov Povarsky, he says the same thing over here. The weaker twin is not actively trying to kill the stronger twin. This is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them. That's Mishamaya Korot Filo. There could be Chilukim, but based on what we've said today, says Reborovtov Povarsky, and I believe Ramosha Steinbuch also writes very, very similar to this, the Pshat in Ramosha's Pesach is, he said, if you're telling me that they can't survive as they are, then it's really only one person. It's not two people. If somebody comes along to a doctor and says, can you cut off my leg? The doctor says, absolutely not. I can't do that. But if however the person says, yeah, but I've got gangrene in my leg, then of course, you can amputate the leg, right? But you can amputate the leg in order to save the rest of the body. Here as well, the weaker twin is not a separate entity. It's a part of this living organism. And that part is an overburden. And we're like cutting it off, it's like the gangrene, in order to save the life of this single person. And therefore, Ramosha said, in that particular case, since it's not going to survive, it's one person, and therefore it would be mutter.
Wow. I mean, wow.
They did it, and I assume that I don't know what happened after that. But yeah. Let me just conclude, very briefly, just with going back to that Gemara in Menachos, what exactly was the Shaila Plima, you know, about which head do you put the tefillin on? What was the Pesach? What was the reaction of Rebbe so strong? Galei going to Goddess, which we've touched on already. What did Ashmedai Malka want to show Shlomo HaMelech? The Pshat seems to be like this. That Ashmedai Malka, he says to Shlomo HaMelech, you know that in this world we've got Domeim, Sameach, Chaim, all the different levels, mineral, vegetation, animal, humans, and then according to the Kuzari, Klal Yisrael at the top. The Arizal says that between one level and the next, there's always something like of a bridge. So, for example, between the Domim Tzemeach, coral at the bottom of the sea, it looks like a tree, but it's not really a tree. That's really Domim to Tzemeach, and so on and so forth. We know above human beings are Malachim. What is the bridge between the human being and the Malachim? So the Gemara in Chagiga says that the demons, the Shadim, they have three characteristics of human beings, three characteristics of the Malach. Ashmedoi Malko, he comes along and he says, I'm a demon, I'm the king of the demons. Do you want me to show you somebody who's a bridge between the human being and the state, the one underneath it? He says, let me bring you somebody from the world of Cain. We know after Cain killed Hevel, he was all afraid he was going to be food for the animals. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a letter from his name and put it on his forehead. And he said, if you behave as a human being, then the animals will be scared of you. V'ro kol ami oret, ki shem Hashem nikrolech, they'll see the name of Hashem declared upon you, v'yor umimech, they'll be afraid of you. But if you behave like an animal, then it won't work like that. And that played out as two separate heads. It came as two separate heads. You had the human head and the animal head. So Plima says to Rebbe, he says, which one do you put the tefillin on? Do you put it on the head, the human head, the head which has the name of Hashem on it, the letter of the name of Hashem? Or do you say, no, punkvak head, that head doesn't need it. It's already got the name of Hashem on it, a letter from the name of Hashem. Put the tefillin on the other head. To which Rebbe said, you're asking ridiculous questions. In this world, the question is not shaykh. Galei, going to God is going to the world of kind, you can ask that question, not in this world. And then Hahu Sabo comes along with the case of the Pidyon HaBen. This is Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi, which again, we don't have time to explain fully, but basically it's mavur that Eliyahu HaNavi can come back as a malach, but he can also come back in a physical form. He's got a body left in this world. He came back as if to say, do you know what? There is a place. Rebbe, you Lishitasa, you don't believe that there's a place for two heads in this world. You believe that it's got to be either Olam HaZeh or call it spirituality. You can't have both. We know Rebbe, the Gemara says, at the end of Kesubas, he lifted his hands at the end of his life and he said, I didn't benefit from this world at all. It's either one or the other, says Eliyahu HaNavi. I want you to know that, again, long term, you can't live your life like that. You've got to make a decision in life. Is it going to be a life of Ruchnius or Gashmius? But there is a time and a place. There are times, 30 days, it can be short term. The Derech Aroi, where a person, Bedavka, Avedas Hashem, should come through involvement in the world of Gashmius. And that's the whole idea of Pidyon HaBen, is to relinquish the Kedusha in order that the child, the Bechor, can now have Yerida L'Tzerech Aliyah, get involved in Olam HaZeh, the world of Artius, be Mekadishit. That was the whole message that Eliyahu HaNavi was giving over. And that's the message for us as we go towards Shavuos. When it comes to all other Yomim Tovim, we've got the Machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, whether it's Lochem, whether it's Lashem, but when it comes to Atzeres, says the Gemara, everyone agrees, there's got to be an element of Lochem. The whole message of Shavuos, not whole, but one of the messages of Shavuos is, that when it comes to a life of Torah, yes, it's got to be a life of Ruchnius, but there is a time, but there's a time and a place to use Olam HaZeh, to have the two heads working together, to use the animalistic head, in other words, the world of Gashmius, as a means and a vehicle to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and with that, to raise up this world and bring the Torah into every element of this Berea.